Philippians, if you want to turn in your Bibles, chapter 3. Everybody's waiting for me to say what book. Philippians chapter 3. And great truth this morning. I just kind of wanted to carry on from last week a little bit when we talked about walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. I wanted to just take it a step further because this old flesh gives us a lot of trouble. And we need to really get a hold of this truth that the flesh is not only trouble, but it can't be trusted. So here in verse 3, Paul says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So, no confidence in the flesh is our title this morning from verse 3. No confidence in the flesh. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and pray you'll use it in our hearts to teach and grow us now. And I pray that we'll learn some things that would help us be the more effective servants of our wonderful Savior who's called us and leads us, Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit would use the word now to work miracles in our lives. Thank you for this privilege. We give it to you and may you be glorified through it. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So as Paul said there in verse 3, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we worship the Lord. We worship God in the Spirit. Now we talked about this on Wednesday night, we were in John chapter 4, where the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We mentioned it last week as well, that when we worship the Lord, we must do it in spirit. We cannot worship God in the flesh, because the flesh is contrary to the spirit. They are at enmity with one another. And so when we worship God, we're worshiping him in the spirit. That's a little s, by the way. That is our spirit. Now that it's been given life by the Holy Spirit, now can worship and approach a holy God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we must worship God in the Spirit. And we must serve God in the Spirit. But there's this tendency, if we're not careful, as we've been saved a while, to begin to have trust, if you will, or confidence is another word here, in the flesh, because we tend to do things repetitively, like go to church, maybe teach Sunday school, maybe even preach. You know, I wouldn't want to guess the number, but I know I've preached over 4,000 times. It'd be easy to just say, I don't need to pray about this sermon. I know how to preach. I've been preaching for almost 30 years. And just do it in the flesh, or witness, or teach Sunday school, or do anything for the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll say, well, I know how to do this. I've got a habit. I'm good at this. I don't need to pray. I don't need to trust God. I don't need to commit it to the Lord. And that, I believe, is what Paul's trying to get across. We have to be careful. He even mentioned his own heritage, which we'll talk about, how he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. He spoke multiple languages. He was a very intelligent man. But what he's saying is, all that's gone. Now I serve God in the Spirit. Even though I have those abilities, even though I've had all that learning, I still need to serve God in the Spirit. I still need to be reliant on the Spirit when I serve the Lord. And that is what we need to be careful of. You know, he spoke to the Galatians chapter 3, if you want to turn there, and had to reprove them a bit because there were people that had come in who had told the Galatians, well, it's good that you've trusted Jesus Christ, but now you need to keep the law. So basically they were early Seventh-day Adventists, essentially. And notice Galatians 3:3, it says, "Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" When you were born again, you started in the Spirit. It was all in the Spirit. Are you now made perfect by the things that you do in the flesh? No. He says that's foolishness. And yet, the devil's super crafty, isn't he? And if we're not careful, we can fall into this trap. And so back to our passage, Paul says there in Philippians 3:3, "Have no confidence in the flesh." Our flesh has been crucified. Our flesh is contrary to the law of God. That didn't change after we got saved, by the way. It's still contrary to the law of God. And it's still our enemy, if you will. Go to Romans 7, and Paul talks here about his own battle with the flesh. And yes, Paul was human like the rest of us. And Paul made mistakes like we do. And Paul had this tendency like we do to, based on our pride, to say, you know, I don't have to commit everything to the Lord. I don't have to do everything in the Spirit. I can do some of it in the flesh. And that's, of course, very dangerous. That's exactly what the devil wants. But notice Paul here in Romans 7, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but he basically is recounting his own battle with his flesh. And he says there in verse 14, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, but what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." That sound familiar? He says, what I know I should do, I don't. But what I don't want to do, I end up doing. Verse 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Verse 18, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." There we have it on authority from Paul himself. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Then why do we rely on it? Why do we listen to it? Why do we trust it? We can't. And so Paul is telling us here in Philippians 3, be careful about having confidence in the flesh. Be careful about trusting yourself, trusting your flesh, even, by the way, trusting your heart. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" How many times do people say, "Well, I just had a peace about it. It felt right." Good. Are your feelings reliable? Nope. Just because it felt right, that didn't mean it was God's will. You need to make sure it's God's will. Because a lot of times things feel right and they're wrong. I mean, let's face it, if we had to take a majority vote of everybody in the world, would they say that there's a God or there's not a God? So are they right or are they wrong? The majority is usually wrong, by the way, according to Scripture. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." How often do we trust our heart to lead us, to guide us? "Oh, I just followed my heart." Well, your heart is deceitful and wicked, so I wouldn't recommend following it. Maybe you should follow the Holy Spirit instead. So we're not to have confidence in the flesh. Now, by the way, there are some things we are to have confidence in, just as a side note. And the Bible tells us about these things, and I'll just quickly throw them out there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. This isn't really part of the point he's trying to get across, but I want to make it clear that there are some things that we can have confidence in as God's children. The flesh isn't one of them. But one of them is, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6, "We are always confident." So here's that word confident. He says, "We are confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Verse 8, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord." So one of the things that we're going to be confident about, and we are every time we go to a Christian's funeral, is that when we die, we're going to go to be with Jesus. Amen? Now that's something to be confident about. That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Philippians 1:6, something else we can be confident about is that God has started something in our lives when we got saved, and God will finish it. We are secure in our salvation in Jesus Christ. Notice Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that's something you can have confidence in. That what God started in you, God will finish. Amen? That's exciting. And then in 1 John 5:14, turn over there, the Bible says that we can have confidence that God hears our prayers. Now that's something exciting to be confident about, isn't it? 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 14. The Bible tells us here, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So there are some things in Scripture that we're to be confident about. We're going to go to heaven and be with Jesus when we leave this body. He's going to perform what he started in us. We're secure in Christ. And anything that we ask according to his will, he hears it. He hears our prayers. But Paul is saying here something we should not have confidence in is this old man, this old flesh. He said, I'm crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20. So we can't have confidence in the flesh. Go back to our passage. Paul here, he explains in verse 4. He says, I might have confidence in the flesh. In other words, I could. Because God chose to call me, I wasn't a fisherman like the rest of the disciples. I was actually a very well-educated religious man. And he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel, and he knew the law forwards and backwards. He was a faithful Pharisee. And then when Jesus came on the scene and people started trusting Christ, Paul said, I'll be one that'll go and persecute Christians. I'll go help put them in prison and kill some. I'd call that pretty zealous, wouldn't you? Willing to kill Christians. He was doing it for God. And that's what he says here. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He didn't just say, oh, those Christians are wrong. He did something about it. He actually got involved in rounding them up and putting them in prison and killing them. Until God struck him on that Damascus road and said, I want you to not only be a Christian, I want you to be a church planter. And he became the greatest missionary ever. But he says, I have all that history, all that training, all that past, all that experience. Verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, I no longer have confidence in those things, in my training, in my upbringing, in all that education. I don't have confidence in that. And I've counted it, but loss. Now, what I have confidence in is my Lord, who indwells me and gives me, as we talked last week, his fruit, his power, his wisdom, his direction. Go to Galatians 6:14, where Paul says it a different way. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. And we all need to get this message because, let me tell you, the devil is very good at getting us into this lull of just doing what we're supposed to do and doing it in the flesh rather than in the spirit. And we talked last week about how we can't be in the spirit and the flesh at the same time. It's always one or the other. But notice Galatians 6:14, Paul here says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified under me, and I unto the world. He says, I have nothing to glory in. I can speak multiple languages. I was well trained, well educated. Very zealous Jew, I have nothing to glory in but the cross of Jesus Christ. That must be always our attitude. And back to Philippians, notice he says in verse 8 of chapter 3, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. So Paul isn't only just talking about how he's willing to forsake his past. But God told Paul in advance, Paul, you're going to suffer a lot for my sake. He told him that right when he called him in Acts chapter 9. He says, all the things he must suffer for my sake. And by the way, he did. And from a physical point of view, he said, I've suffered the loss of all things. Here I am in my ministry, and he basically owned nothing and traveled around with a group of people, planted churches, saw people saved. But from a physical point of view, he was a very poor man. I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. He says, I don't care. What I care about is Jesus and serving Jesus and telling people about Jesus. And didn't Jesus say in Luke 14, when he's talking about his disciples, whosoever forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple? Whoever's not willing to just leave it all behind and say, it's all new now, I'm just going to serve Jesus, he can't be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And Paul says here in verse 9, being found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Isn't it amazing how the devil tries to trick us as we've been saved a while to thinking that we can somehow earn God's favor if we have our list of do's and don'ts and we follow the do's and don't do the don'ts and God's just so happy with us. Listen, God isn't happy with you because of your do's and don'ts. He's happy with you because you're in Christ. And that's that. And we're all equal in Christ. We're all fully justified in Christ. And yes, God wants obedience. But we don't obey to try to earn God's favor. We obey because we love God. And those are two different things, aren't they? And so we need to stop depending on our own abilities. As it says here, our own righteousness, our own works. We are here to walk by faith, not by sight. And this is the world's problem, isn't it? If you go to Romans 10, the world, they're still trying to earn God's favor through works. And it isn't amazing that the gospel is so clear and we date our calendars by Jesus Christ, and yet you ask 100 people and over 90 of them are going to tell you if they believe they're going to heaven, it's because of something that they're doing or have done. Where did they get that? They didn't get it from the gospel, or they didn't get it from looking back at the cross and saying, why did Jesus die on the cross and rise again? So that I could earn heaven by going to church and being a good person? Where did they get that? They got it from their pride, which we all have. Romans 10:3, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now that is primarily talking about the Jewish people, but it also talks about all the unsaved who are trying to earn heaven. Now if you're born again this morning, you've already gotten past that. You understand that you can't earn heaven, that heaven's a gift. For those who will repent and acknowledge that Jesus Christ paid for their sins and rose again for them and offers them eternal life, and you've accepted him. You've accepted his gift. But that doesn't stop the devil from whispering in your ear after you've been saved for 20 years and saying, you don't really need to pray about that. Just do it. You know what you're doing. Just do it in the flesh. If you're going to go sing that special, just do it in the flesh. You're a good singer. If you're going to teach that Sunday school class, you can do that with your hands tied behind your back. You don't need to pray. That's having confidence in the flesh. You've already witnessed to 300 people. You don't need to pray before you witness to this person and ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance. You know what you're doing. You see what happens? Confidence in the flesh. We can't have it. And we've got to guard ourselves against it. Paul says here in verse 9, being found in him. When we got saved, we are in Christ. Praise the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. We're preserved in Jesus Christ, we're told in Jude verse 1. Our life is hid with Christ in Colossians 3:3. We are in Christ, and we are to be serving in Christ. We are to be serving the Lord, walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says, our own righteousness is nothing. That's what it says there in verse 9. Being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Now, if you go to Isaiah 64, God has something to say about our righteousnesses. And it isn't very good. And I understand that this is primarily referring to the unsaved trying to earn heaven. Let me tell you something. Our righteousnesses are the same. Isaiah 64, verse 6. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Never forget that. God didn't save you so that you could then earn His favor by doing stuff. It doesn't work like that. You already have His favor through Christ, 100%. You're accepted in the beloved Jesus Christ. You are in Him now. So don't get this twisted mentality from the devil of thinking that every time you do something good or do something on your list of dues, that all of a sudden God is super happier with you now and He's just going to pour out the blessings upon you because you did this amazing thing. No, it doesn't work like that. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Yes, we're to be obedient, but our obedience is our way of saying, Lord, I love You. It's not a way to say, Lord, I want Your smile now. I want You to give me a big pat on the back because I did this thing or I didn't do that thing. It doesn't work like that. Our righteousness is our filthy rags. And that's the point that Paul's trying to get across. We're not here to serve God in the flesh, and we're not here to please God in the flesh. We're here to serve God in the Spirit. If you're serving God in the Spirit and you do something for God, who did it? God did it. The Spirit did it through you. So why should you get any glory for it? You see? It's God doing it through you. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We don't do those things in our own strength. We can't. We're wicked sinners. But as we walk in the Spirit and yield to the Spirit, those things flow through us. And when we do those things and we're a blessing to others, it wasn't us. It was God. It was God doing it through us. Therefore, God should get all the glory. Amen? Not us. But the devil comes along and says, oh, you don't need to rely on the Lord for this. Just trust the flesh. Flesh has this. You can do this. And how dangerous of an attitude that is. So Paul, using his own life as an example, taught us a beautiful lesson, didn't he? He says, of all people, I'm well educated, I'm well trained, I have the perfect background, I'm a full-fledged Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. Says all that means absolutely nothing. What matters is I'm a Christian. And I'm going to serve God in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So we must have, as he says there in verse 3, no confidence in the flesh. Don't let the devil trick you into trusting that flesh for anything, because it'll just lead you astray. It's only the Spirit of God that can make it what it needs to be for the Lord. Have no confidence in the flesh. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord.